I want to thank Richard for those kind words, and I will give you even more than I gave you before you came up here to thank you for those comments. But we respect, in other words, I'm trying to say I paid him to say all that. But really, we really respect Richard and Sarah and the work that they do and just the way that they've persevered through time. And one of the stiffest tests of your discipleship is the test of time.
Yeah.
Many people bloom for a little while, but few stay the course. And they've done it both here and abroad, and they are heroes in the faith. And I just personally thank the two of you so much for your example, which is an upward call to all of us, and for all the lives that they've affected over the years, so more than many of us even know about. So it's an honor for Cynthia and I to be here. As Richard mentioned, we've been married 30 great years.
Amen.
And I'll be sharing with you a lot of what I've learned during those 30 years. And all the mistakes that I've made, and all the things that have been my fault and not Cynthia's fault. So I come with great humility this evening, and I pray that the brothers will imitate my example, and if not, prayerfully your wives will remind you to do so. So let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, which is where our text comes from tonight. As Christ loved the church, what a challenging subject. As Christ loved the church, what in the world do we do like Jesus? If anything, he was perfect in everything. And yet we're challenged as husbands to love as Jesus loved. And as wives, also to love your husbands in the same way. I don't know about you, but I'm already convicted. And asking the Lord Jesus to give me help here. Because his example just blows me away. And I stand in awe of how much he loved and how he loved. Let's begin in verse 21 of Ephesians 5, where it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And the wives said,
amen.
A little weak there, but we'll get there. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. And the wives said,
amen.
Help us, Lord Jesus. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we're members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And the husband said,
amen.
All right, brother, I hope you'll be saying amen after the sermon, after we talk about this for a little bit. Because the model, the example, the standard that Jesus sets for us is to love our wives as Christ loved the church. The contemporary English version says, a husband should love his wife as much as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
And gave his life for it. He should love his wife as much as Christ loved the church. Brothers, that's everything.
That's right. That's right.
The Message version says, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. That's amazing. To do exactly as Christ did. My first point is simply this. The love of Christ is a love that gives more than it gets. It's a love that gives more than it gets. It's a love that looks to give more than receive. You see, Christian marriage is all about giving.
Amen.
Not about receiving.
Amen.
You know, in Acts 20, Paul quotes Jesus. He makes a statement that's not seen anyplace else in the Bible, not even in the Gospels. In Acts 20 and verse 35, Acts 20 and verse 35, the Apostle Paul says this, says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
Is that the way you feel in your, about your marriage? That I am here to give and not just to receive. Now, one time my wife was trying to help a very dear relative of mine who was going through a little problem with her husband. And, you know, Cynthia being the spiritual woman that she is, didn't know what she was getting in trying to disciple my family on marriage. And so she asked this particular relative, a woman, she says, well, you know, have you just thought about serving him? And the relative said, well, what about me? You're talking about him. What about me? And my wife went, okay. All right. All she thought about was what she wanted. What she needed. Not about what he needed. And if we're honest, a lot of times that's the way that we think. Well, what about me? You know, Jesus never said that.
That's right.
Jesus never complained. Well, this is unfair. And I'm giving more than you're giving. And I'm sacrificing more than you're sacrificing. And we need to get together and have a discipling time so you can get fixed. Because I'm okay. But you're not giving like I'm giving. That's not what marriage is about.
That's right.
Jesus gave, and what did we give back? He gave, not knowing whether we would give back or not.
That's right.
He took that chance. He took that risk. There are some other scriptures that talk about Jesus, since he is our model. Let me read them to you. In Ephesians 5, as this chapter begins, Ephesians 5, verse 1, it says, be imitators of God.
Yep.
Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Jesus gave himself up for us.
That's right.
Now, when you read about Jesus, always he's giving.
Yep.
He's serving.
That's right.
He's emptying himself.
That's right.
That's how Jesus lived. He didn't get up in the morning and say, well, what about me? Peter, where's my breakfast? Why don't you wash my feet? That's not what it was about for Jesus.
Right.
It was totally about giving. And here's the thing. The more you give in your marriage, the more you get.
Right.
Amen, sister. Go ahead. Preach the word there now. I got some help here on the front row. The more you give, the more you get. Well, here's the thing. Whether you get or not, you're to glorify God by giving. That's what it's all about. In Philippians 2, here again it talks about Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 5. Here's another great scripture for us, brothers and sisters. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. See, when the Bible talks about being like Jesus, it doesn't say sort of be like Jesus. Kind of try to be like Jesus. It says love just as Christ loved. Not sort of, kind of, maybe. Here it says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. I mean, what day have you had the same attitude as Christ? Well, what was his attitude? Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself to give to man who did not deserve it, did not even appreciate it, most people, never came back to even say thanks. But he held no resentment. He held no bitterness. He held no grudges. He just loved. He just gave. That's the standard that's set for us. To love as Christ loved. The New American Standard Version says he emptied himself. Man, that's painful. That's sacrificial.
That's right.
Just to empty yourself. I mean, what's this weekend about for you? Is it about coming to see what you're going to get? Or is it about coming to see what you can give?
Amen.
How I can build up my spouse. How I can encourage them. Believe in them. See, we're talking about a love that gives more than it gets.
Amen.
And so we should be really working to outgive one another.
Come on.
To outserve one another. You know, to out-sacrifice for one another. John 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this. John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. That's the standard that Jesus says.
That's right.
Lay down your life. Now, here's the reality of it. I'm a selfish human being. I know I'm the only one in the room, but I just thought I'd put that out there. And my sinful nature does not want to sacrifice and give as Jesus commands. Just like many of you, when Cynthia and I first got married, man, we were just out serving each other, loving one another. I mean, it was miraculous. I mean, I would come home and there would be like a 3-4 course meal. I mean, it was all good, man. I was living in eternal bliss. And then reality set in. She got tired. I got tired. I had to go to work. She had to go to work. There were distractions. There were conflicts. And then that selfless giving wasn't quite what it was in the beginning. The honeymoon was over. And the tragedy is so many couples spend the rest of their life trying to recapture an unrealistic honeymoon experience. Honeymoon is great, but that's not reality. Let me say it again. Honeymoon is great. That's not reality.
That's right.
Reality is you wake up tired, sometimes frustrated, sometimes irritated, sometimes overwhelmed, and you got this man saying, give, give, give. And you're like, no, no, no. And you've got this woman saying, talk, talk, talk. And you're like, no, no, no. I'm tired. Don't you understand the burden I'm under here? But what does Jesus tell us? You need to give.
Amen.
You need to sacrifice.
Yes.
You need to serve. You see, in the world, they reach that point that a lot of us reach. And you know what they do? They quit. So I'm going to go find me somebody else and start all over. I want that euphoric experience. So every 3 or 4 years, how do they get it? Get another marriage. Get another partner. Well, we can't do that.
That's right.
And go to heaven. So So that's not an option. What we have to do is learn to deny ourselves and imitate the Lord and pray for God to give us strength to deny ourselves. Let me give you the top reasons for divorce. Here are the top reasons for divorce. Money. Anybody got any money problems in here? Infidelity. That happens in the church more often than it should. Should never happen. Poor communication. Change in priorities. The kids come along. You're not number one anymore. Got a big job. Got to make money. You're not number one. You are number two. At least you got a number. Lack of commitment to the marriage. Sexual problems. That's the reality. People get married. As disciples, the one thing we could not do before we got married was have sex. Then people get married and then they don't have sex. What's wrong with us? We need to repent.
Amen.
Addictions. Failed expectations of your spouse. Believing one is a superhero or that he or she can fix or be everything to you or for you. That's a lot of people go into marriage. You're going to be my savior. You're going to be my deliverer. Only Jesus can be that for you.
That's right.
And then physical, emotion, abuse. But the number one reason I did not mention, the number one cause of divorce is selfishness. That's the number one cause. The number one cause of unhappy marriages is selfishness. People too concerned about what they want and not being willing to sacrifice to meet the other person's needs.
Come on, Stan.
Whether it's emotionally, whether it's physically, whether it's just being a friend. Too much emphasis on me and not enough emphasis on what would God have me to do. What would Jesus do in this situation? The solution is not an easy one. I wish I could tell you tonight, this is easy. Praise the Lord. You got the Holy Ghost. You got the Bible. You got the kingdom. This is easy. I'm sorry, I can't tell you that. What I'm going to tell you is the truth. This is flat hard.
Yeah.
This is flat difficult. You have to be willing. Here's the solution. You have to keep on giving.
Amen.
Even when you don't feel like it. You have to keep on giving, even when it hurts.
Amen.
You have to keep on giving when everything in you says, I don't want to give. That's how you build a successful marriage.
Amen.
You have to sacrifice. I said, well, Sam, you know, I just don't feel like it all the time. Well, here's the problem that a lot of people, the problem that a lot of people have. They think life is about feelings. They think marriage is about feelings. Marriage is not about feelings. Now, there are times when you feel awesome. There are times when you feel like, girl. I mean, you my world, girl. I mean, it's like we just flat stone in love. I'm just blinded by love. Then the other times, it's like, please. Can you just leave me alone? I know we got married to be together, but I need some me time right now. And what we've got to understand is marriage is not about feelings.
That's right.
You have to deny your feelings and do what's right.
Amen.
You know, you want to do better? You want to feel better? Then do what's right. When you do what's right, then you begin to feel what's right.
That's right.
So many of us are like, you know, I'm just going to do only what I feel like doing. See, you'll never keep a job like that.
Yeah.
You just can't go to work when you feel like it. So the boss tell you, I don't feel like it. You don't feel like it. Well, that's just great. You know, you're driving up here, you get pulled over. You don't stop. The guy finally pulls you over. Why didn't you pull over? I didn't feel like it. I had to be somewhere. I didn't feel like it. Well, You feel like going to jail? Because that's where you're going? You can't live life just doing what you feel like. You can't raise children just when you feel like raising them. You can't change a diaper just when you feel like changing it. That's child abuse. Christ laid down his life for the church.
Yeah.
That's the model. That's the example. We've got to be willing to lay down our lives for each other. You know, the church, when you look at the church is imperfect. It's imperfect. You know, the Bible says that the husband is to try to present his wife without blemish, without stain, without wrinkle. Well, the church is filled with blemishes, stains and wrinkles. A lot of times it's just messed up. We're sinful people. And the thing about it, Jesus knows everything about us.
Yeah.
Every thought. Every evil thought. You know, what if we had a video screen up here and it showed the things that you think, the things that you say?
Come on.
Sometimes we're just difficult to love.
Yeah.
But Jesus loves us anyway.
Yeah. Amen.
And he never stops loving us. Jesus has grounds for divorce.
That's right.
He does. Because we've been unfaithful to him, and yet he still loves us. And why? Because he just wants to please God. Wants to please the Father. That's what it's got to come down to. I just want to do the Father's will. It's really not about you.
Yep.
It's about me and God.
That's right.
And I'm going to love you as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
No matter what.
Amen.
That's the standard. That's the challenge that Jesus gives us and that I want to give you tonight. Christ-centered marriages is two people giving 100%.
Amen.
Not 50-50.
That's right.
100-100. Christ-centered marriages are two people denying themselves daily. Not one, but both people denying themselves daily. That's how you build a beautiful relationship.
Amen.
That's not how I thought about it when I first got married. And God has discipled me to the core of my soul. And I'm beginning to understand. I need to love selflessly.
Amen.
And that to love as Christ love means that I need to be willing to give.
Amen.
More than I'm looking to receive. Second point, the love of Christ is a love that builds up more than it tears down.
Amen.
A love that builds up more than it tears down. He says here that Jesus wants and really challenges the brothers, says to present her as a radiant church. Without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless, radiant. That means alive.
Amen.
Glowing.
Wow.
Which is what women look like when they're in love. They glow.
Yeah.
I mean, does your woman have a glow on? There's a glow. Is she glowing?
Yeah.
there's something going on in the front row over here. Maybe y'all should just go on and do what y'all got to do. Because you don't need no marriage retreat. The Message version puts it this way. Verse 26. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. Dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And what a challenge that is. To present her radiant. You know, the scriptures challenge us to love one another deeply. From the heart. To be that way for one another. And you think about the words that Christ calls the church. The Bible calls the church. The church is the bride of Christ. It's the body of Christ. It is the city of the living God. It is the golden candlestick. It's the habitation of God. the holy city, the Lamb's wife, Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, the pillar and foundation of the truth. The church is the temple of God. That's what Jesus calls this imperfect, sinful organism that you and I are a part of. What do you call your spouse? What do we call one another? See, our words can either build up or tear down. Even with all our flaws and our stuff, we got to encourage each other.
Amen.
In Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 16. Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 16. This is what Solomon writes. It says, "In you, my dear lover, you're so handsome. And the bed we share is like a forest glen." What does she say to her lover? "You so handsome." When's the last time you said that to your husband? I know he ain't what he used to be. I know it. He ain't got the hair he used to have. He don't have the waistline he used to have. But he got more one. You know, brother man can't remember why he went where he went. You know, he don't move as fast as he used to move. And maybe that old jar he used to turn with his hand, he got to get a some kind of contraption to help him now. But he get it off for you. But do you tell him how awesome he is? "You my man. How handsome you are." Song of Songs, chapter 5, verse 10, this is what it says. It says, "My dear lover glows with health, red-blooded, radiant. He's one in a million." This is what the Message version says. "He's one in a million. There's no one quite like him."
Come on.
That's how you need to encourage your husband.
Amen.
"There's no one like the one I got. He's one in a million." You may as well, you ain't getting another one.
That's right.
"Baby, you it. You one in a million. You my man." See, we need to hear that. "You handsome. I like the way you look."
Amen.
You tell him that? You tell him I wish you had this or that or whatever. What you wish him for? He's what you got. You didn't marry Denzel.
That's right.
You're not going, Brad Pitt doesn't know who you are. And you don't want to hook up one of them fools anyway if they're not committed first to Jesus. Build him up.
Amen.
Encourage him. You know, I love it when Cynthia does that. She does it to me personally. She does it in front of our children. And they think I'm awesome. And I know I'm a sinful man. But it encourages me to know that she thinks I got it going on.
Amen.
Brothers, do you encourage your wife? You know, in Proverbs 31, 28 talks about the Proverbs 31 woman. And brothers, before you throw that out there as a standard, "Honey, I was reading Proverbs 31 and that woman did everything. You know, you're not measuring up, honey." Well, she has servants, bro. She had paid servants. So before you lay that standard on her, get some paid servants. All right? Then she'll be able to do all that you want her to do and more. Isn't that right, girls?
Yeah.
All right. But let's stay unified now. Let's stay unified. In verse 28, it says, "Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also." Not just the children. Mommy's great. Mommy's great. No, the husband.
Amen.
Got to say it. And he praises her. Verse 29. "Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all."
Amen.
That's what your wife needs to hear.
Come on.
Honey, you the best woman in the world. You my girl.
Yeah.
You my ace fool cool.
Yeah.
You're it. Ain't nobody like you.
That's right.
You're my heart, my soul inspiration. You're it. you got to tell her this stuff. Because, you know, sometimes they don't feel good about themselves. You know how they get. You got to say, no, you are beautiful. You are. Just the way you are right now. You don't have to change anything for me. You hear that? All right. Ain't no woman like the one I've got.
Right.
So you got to help eradicate those insecurities.
Yeah.
You know, as they get down on themselves, man, you can't go, she goes, you know, honey, I don't think this looks so good on me. He says, you know, baby, maybe, you know, you can't do that. You got to encourage her.
Amen.
You only get one wife in this life, dude.
That's right.
Don't mess it up.
Amen.
Encourage her. Man, you got to build her up. That's what the scriptures say.
Amen.
It, you know, a lot of times we're guilty of the wrong kind of discipleship in marriage. I made a lot of mistakes with this. See, because my wife's strong in the Lord. And I thought, well, I know how to disciple the brothers. And some of the brothers are hard-headed. So I'm going to disciple my wife the same way. Now, if you haven't guessed it yet, it did not work. Because, you know, when I disciple the brothers, they don't start crying. And I don't sleep with the brothers. So they go home. I got to be with this woman. So I learned the hard way that I need to encourage my wife.
Amen.
And I need to make sure there are other strong women in her life that she can really talk things out.
Yeah.
But what she needs most from me is encouragement.
Amen.
And not correction.
Yes.
Not tearing her down. She just needs to know, I believe in her.
Amen.
And it's going to be okay. You see, the thing you learn about good Christian women, they come around. They always come around. Maybe not when you think they should or how you think they should, but they love Jesus. My wife loves Jesus.
That's right.
And I just need to encourage her and build her up more than anything. What do the scriptures say? See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another. How often?
Daily.
That's Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sense of deceitfulness. Do you encourage your wife every day? I could do a better job of that. But every day, just, you're beautiful. You're awesome. You're incredible. I appreciate what you do. I appreciate how you help me. I appreciate how you make me look good. You make me look, you know, every Christmas my wife makes me look good. And we brought Christmas presents here on the way to Florida. And I go into fellowship and people, thank you, Sam. Thank you. Appreciate what you gave me. I have no idea what we gave you. But she's sure making me look good.
Yeah.
You know, we have people over for dinner. She cooks the food. Everything looks great, smells good. Makes me look good.
Amen.
I want to encourage her. Yeah, you did awesome. That's great. I made a lot of mistakes early on. I learned from those mistakes. Don't keep making the same dumb mistakes.
Amen.
Encourage your wife. Wives, you can't expect your husband to have the emotions of a woman. It won't happen. How many of you women have told your husband, you just don't get it. You just don't get it. You're there crying. You don't get it. You just don't get it. You're right. He doesn't get it. He's not going to get it. Because he don't know what it is. It's beyond us. We don't understand y'all. I can't understand why you're sitting there watching a TV program. You know it's sad. You know Little House on the Prairie is sad. You start crying. Why are you watching that? I can't get it. No, I never get it. I don't watch TV to cry. I watch TV to laugh. I watch TV to have fun. And there you are crying. Sometimes y'all crying for no reason. It's like, you don't understand. No, I don't. But I'm going to try. I'm going to listen. But y'all got to give us a break here.
Yeah,
You're different from us. Praise God, you're different from us. Be patient with us.
Amen.
You know, we are there. We're trying. You know, I'll call up other brothers, bro. Can you help me out? I can't help you. Only the Lord can help you. But it's like, just keep loving her, bro. We don't have the capacity on that level that a lot of you have. We're trying. But encourage your husband. At least he's standing by your side. He's there. You know, sometimes all I can do is listen. Say, honey, you know, we can pray about this. Amen. I mean, you're not crazy. I'm not crazy. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. But we've got to encourage one another.
Amen.
We've got to build up more than we tear down. You want to see a wife lose her radiance? A critical husband. You want to see an angry man? The one who lives with a critical, nagging, negative wife. Let's build each other up. Let's find the good.
Amen.
And let's focus on that more than we focus on the bad.
Amen.
Amen. That's what Jesus does with us.
That's right.
Because I tell you what, if one of us was God for a day, the whole world would just be tore up. We just blow the whole thing up. I'm not even going to try this. Not with 6 billion fools like this. No way. But Jesus loves us. In spite of. And even calls us his sons and daughters. And wants to spend eternity with us. He loves us. We need to love one another. And finally.
Come on, Sam.
The love of Christ is a love that protects more than it neglects. A love that protects more than it neglects. Here in this verse, Ephesians 5, he says, husbands, love your wives as your own bodies. You know, guys, as strong as we are, a lot of us are very sensitive about our bodies. Women even joke to one another about us. How we can't stand pain. We get sick and the whole world has to stop. Take care of me. I need soup. I need rest. I need attention. Your wife gets sick. She's like, baby, keep pushing, will you? Come on, girl. You can do it. Go and get that milk out there. Get them eggs. Get on out there in them fields and bring that crop in. You're going to be all right. You're strong. You can have the baby sideways. It's going to be all right. I mean, but when it comes to us, we're just little hammer. Do you love your wife as you love your own body? Be sensitive. Be sensitive. I mean, this is a challenge in Scripture.
Yeah.
The Amplified Version says, even so husbands should, in verse 28, even so husbands should love their wives as being incensed their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it as Christ does the church.
Come on, man.
Protects and cherishes it.
Amen.
The Message Version says he feeds and pampers it.
Come on.
And your wife would love to be pampered. We need to pamper each other sometimes. Honey, you know, don't worry about it. I got it. We got to protect each other.
Amen.
You know, we live in a crazy world.
Yeah.
Crazy world. I mean, the economy's going nuts. We're trying to make ends meet. We're running here. We're running there. You know, a lot of you got multiple children. And it's like it's tough. And then there's the kingdom. And everybody acts like all they got is all you can do is what they want you to do. Your family, they don't think you have anything else. Your husband doesn't think you have anything else. And the kingdom, it's like, hey, you can do all this. And we've got to protect each other.
Amen.
Not from sacrificing and being committed to the Lord. But we've got to make sure that we're managing our lives.
Yeah.
And that we're not allowing our spouses, our husbands, our wives to go places that are going to hurt them.
Yeah.
We've got to protect each other. Are we taking care of one another? No, emotionally. Are you protecting your wife, your husband emotionally? Sometimes we get hurt by stuff. Even in the kingdom. Are you there to listen? To pray? To encourage? You see, you've got to understand when it really comes down to it, what you think is what matters most.
Yeah.
I need to hear from you. Because I'm having a hard time right now. Are you with me? Are you trying to understand? You know, I've learned the longer I do this is sometimes really all you got is you and her.
That's right.
I'm not encouraging independence or isolation. I'm just saying you better realize that sometimes there's no one else to call.
That's right.
No one else to listen to you. And you better hold on to your spouse.
Amen.
Listen. Physically. Now we got to take care of each other.
Amen.
Now don't let the girl go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, just tell, honey, no. You can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You know, I remember one night, Cynthia and I were going to get with a couple we got with them. We finished about 10:30. And we was walking out, they was walking. I said, where are you going? He said, we're going to have a D time. I said, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. They married with kids. They walking out the door at 10:30 at night during the week.
Wow.
Said, you're going back in the house. And you're going to stay with your kids. Whoever you're supposed to be discipling, you tell them later. They can talk to Jesus tonight.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the heart. But man, they're going to be dead by the time they're 50.
Yeah.
We got to protect each other.
Amen.
Now, don't go and tell anybody, Sam says we don't have to get together for discipling time. That's not what I said.
Yeah.
I'm saying you've got to manage your life.
Amen.
Sexually. We've got to protect each other, not neglect.
Amen.
Don't make your spouse be tempted with other alternatives. You see, sometimes men get frustrated sexually. Here's the thing you got to understand. Where else can he go?
Yeah.
You're the only option. There's no other option. So come on.
That's right.
Well, what the brother supposed to do? Huh? I mean, you help me out here. What is she supposed to do? I mean, that's it? Just, right? I mean, does this make sense? So when you come up with all these excuses, and the Bible says we need to be considerate of one another and all that, but please. Let's not do this to each other.
Amen.
You know what I'm talking about. Am I communicating here?
Yeah.
All right. Protect each other.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Just take care of your spouse. Man, I'm thankful. My wife is selfless. Amen. I'm blessed spiritually. We got to help each other be close to God.
Amen.
Protect each other. Man, talk about what you're reading in the Bible.
Come on.
Make sure you're doing that.
Yeah.
Make sure we're making time for that.
Right.
You know, I messed up early. And I've messed up a lot not protecting my wife emotionally. She's out there by herself. Because there's conflict in life. There's conflict in the kingdom.
Yeah.
I don't know what kingdom you're in, but in the kingdom in New York, there's conflict.
Yeah.
She needs me.
Right.
Man, I need her. And sometimes I come home, I go, baby, I don't know what's going on. But you got to help me right now. These people that the Lord's given us. But But let me wrap this up, and I'll just refer to some of this. We need to protect one another from the pitfalls of this life.
Amen.
Materialism.
Come on.
Greed.
Yes.
In 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, it says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain.
Amen.
For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it."
Yeah.
"But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. I wish." People who want to get rich fall into temptation and trap and the many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." You know, we've had so many people from New York move south. And I'm not opposed to people moving. But they got to make sure that they're seeking first the kingdom.
That's right.
And we've had people move to Georgia, move to Florida, move all these places, and Satan took advantage of them.
Yeah.
They shipwrecked their faith because they were chasing the American dream rather than God's dream to get to heaven. And we feel the pressures. We want more. We got to have more. And we've got to help each other.
Amen.
To say, no. We don't need to live like the Joneses.
Come on.
No, we don't need to have everything that everybody else has. And let's wait until we can afford this before we do it. Because it'll lead you away from God. Satan knows what he's doing. He lays a trap. And you live in the good old South and you look at what your neighbor's got. Like, look what that got. Look at the car they're driving. You know what? I got my little 10-year-old car. I'm thankful.
Yeah, man.
There's no car payment on that bad boy.
Yeah.
All right? And Cynthia's got hers. I mean, it's like, man, you can have that new car, but let me tell you, that car payment come visiting every month.
Yeah.
I don't want it coming to my house.
Come on, man.
And I'm not saying you can't buy a new car. I'm not. If you can afford it, get one. But don't get consumed with the world. We got to talk to each other. Help each other. My wife always encourages me. Be generous.
Mm.
Be generous to the Lord. I mean, we never miss contribution.
Come on.
Never. We never miss special contribution. Never. Here, we left this week. I left the check. Back in New York. Because the Lord's first.
Amen.
And really, that only helps our relationship.
Amen.
Got to put first things first.
Yes.
Be careful. The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth.
That's right.
Desires for other things, those things can come in and choke out your spiritual life. Kill your marriage.
Yeah.
And there's the truth. You get all this stuff, filling up the garage, just consuming your house and creating more worries. The brother with the old car, he ain't worried. Hear noise outside, I hope somebody did take it. You got your brand new Beamer? Hear a bird flying. I've got to start my car. Come on. Run outside. Look, where you going at, man? I got to make sure my car all right. Just worried about all this stuff, man. And the more stuff you get, the more time it takes.
That's right.
Stuff breaks. And you got to spend time trying to put it back together. When you didn't put it together in the right time the first time, because you didn't read the instructions, that's a whole other lesson. But we don't need all this stuff, man.
Amen.
Let's protect each other.
Amen.
And I'm not saying, don't misuse this.
Yeah.
Let the girl buy a new pair of shoes, will you? Okay. Okay, if you just get one, then yeah. A lot of times, you know where I'm coming from here.
Yeah.
But let's protect each other.
Yeah.
We're going to close out with Ephesians 5, verse 33.
Come on, Sam.
A love that protects more than it neglects. Don't neglect your spouse. Love her as Christ loved the church. Love him as Christ loved the church. Treat them like you want to be treated. Ephesians 5, verse 33 simply says, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. And the wife must respect her husband. Too often, we give ourselves choices with these things. I can or I can't. I should or I should not. I may and I may not. No. If you want to have a great marriage, husbands, you must love your wife.
Amen.
To the best of your ability.
Amen.
As Christ loved the church. And wives, you must adore and respect your husband in the way that Jesus commands.
That's right.
Give more than you look to get. Encourage more than you seek to discourage. Build up more than you tear down. Protect more than you neglect. And may God give us the strength to build great marriages to his glory. God bless you.
Amen.